Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Upon that confession of faith is based all of our salvation. Because we have a risen, living Savior, the child of God is justified. There is nothing that can condemn us. Because Jesus Christ is risen, the child of God is raised to a new spiritual life. Because Jesus lives as the risen Lord, the child of God too shall be raised from the dead, and their body shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You see, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith and belief. He or she who by the grace of God believes the resurrection of Jesus Christ believes the gospel, and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ shall without doubt find eternal life therein. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, the verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." By this faith, faith in the crucified and risen Savior, we are saved. Believing in the glorious truth of the resurrection today, we are more than conquerors through him who is risen and who has died for us. But as unthinkable and horrible as it may sound to one possessing faith in the risen Lord, also this truth of the resurrection is denied. Men want novelties. Men do not want the clear and certain sounds of the gospel. Those certain sounds of the gospel are incarnate deity, that is, the Son of God made flesh, atoning death, that is, Jesus dying for his people, literal resurrection, Jesus Christ risen bodily from the dead. Modern man exalts his reason and his intellect above all of these sound truths and calls them all myth. This comes into the church. The most basic spiritual manna, the most basic truths of the gospel, more and more the church no longer believes them as facts. That was true in Paul's day. Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" There were those in Corinth who denied a physical resurrection. In the church of Ephesus, Paul warns Timothy of a man called Hymenaeus and another Alexander. "And their word," he says to Timothy, "doth eat as a canker, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Already in Paul's day, men tried to take away the resurrection, to deny the reality, to make it something mystical. And so we are told that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was invented by the early church. They wanted him back so badly that they imagined this story. And we believe that Christ is risen all right, that is, he lives in the memory as an embodiment of new hope and human expectations. Now be very clear that if you or I depart from the truth of the real resurrection of Jesus Christ, or any truth made known in the Bible, we have lost our salvation. If we deny this truth, we tear the bowels out of the gospel, and we are left only with a carcass called external Christianity, stuffed with speculations and uncertainty. But what saith the Scripture? 1 Corinthians 15, "If the dead rise not, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then those who fell asleep in Jesus, that is, died in the faith of Jesus, are perished, and we are of all men most miserable." Shall we negotiate today on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Shall we perhaps discuss the impact on Christianity if certain concessions are made on this truth? Shall we do that? God forbid. The Word of God is clear. A dead Savior, a Savior who is not risen, is no Savior. If Christ did not arise, then the gospel is a hoax, and the preaching of the gospel is a lie, and besides, it is useless. But God declares, with all of his power and sovereignty, now is Christ risen from the dead. And therefore, with a holy jealousy and with uncompromising insistence, we declare today in his behalf, Christ is risen from the dead. 2 Timothy 2 verse 18. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Acts 4 verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Our faith is sure because Jesus is risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares to us that we are justified. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a declaration made by God to the child of God, saying, you are righteous. You are no more in your sins. You are no more guilty before God. When God raised his son, and God did that, then God made a declaration of the righteousness of his people in the work of Jesus Christ. We need to see that, first of all, in the resurrection. Now that depends, of course, upon the fact of the resurrection, upon the fact of the physical and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That physical and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ was not invented by the disciples, but it was a real and physical resurrection from the dead. And more, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ arose as the head or representative of his church. And upon the basis of that fact, the declaration is made now to the church and to all those who are given to belong to Jesus Christ that they are righteous in Christ. And the Bible is very desirous to bring this home to our souls. We read in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who, that is Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Jesus Christ was delivered over to the cross. Why? Because of our offenses. He went to the cross to suffer for our sins. But then Jesus Christ was risen. Why? On account of our justification. The word justification means to be made right with God. In other words, the Bible is saying this. Because on the cross, Jesus had really paid for our sins. And now when Jesus Christ is risen, God is declaring to his people that their sins have been paid in the cross of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 34, the apostle says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. The apostle says, who's going to condemn us? Who's going to bring a charge against the child of God? Their sins have been paid. And how do we know that their sins have been paid? Christ is risen again. The resurrection is the declaration of God that the work of Jesus Christ was accepted, was successful, that work that he did upon the cross. If God did not raise his son from the dead, then God would be saying to us, the work that he attempted to do on the cross was not satisfactory. He belongs in the grave. He's a failure. But he is no failure, for he is risen. And therefore, with his resurrection comes the testimony of God to the heart of every child of God today. We are justified. Christ on the cross has accomplished our full redemption. We have a risen Savior, and the fact of his resurrection is the declaration of God. You, my child, are right before me in Christ. But there's more. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also brings this truth that we now shall live in Him. Jesus said these words in John 14, "Because I live, ye shall live also." He was telling us that His resurrection will be the life that will be worked in us in our spiritual rebirth. That's what Peter is referring to in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again," that is, to be born again unto a living hope, now note the words, "by the resurrection of Christ from the dead." He's saying there that Christ's resurrection is the powerhouse which generates our spiritual rebirth. His resurrection did not only affect the removal of our sins and our standing before God. It's not only a declaration that we are innocent, but His resurrection affects our spiritual being before God. By the power of His resurrection, we who are dead sinners are now made alive unto God in Christ. The resurrection is the proof, then, that we are justified, and it is the power of our new and holy life. The resurrection of Christ is the power of our spiritual rebirth, because the Scriptures teach that that resurrection life of Christ is what is implanted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus could say, John 11, 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou me, thou this?" The Lord meant something more than just the resurrection of the body at the last day. He was saying those words to Martha, and Martha knew that, but he wasn't just saying, "Martha, at the last day, the bodies of the believer are going to be raised from the dead." But he was saying to her, all right now who are brought into faith attachment with me, with Jesus Christ, have eternal life. They have it right now. They will never die. That is, they have implanted into their souls the life of Jesus Christ, so that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 1 Corinthians 5, 17, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Or Romans 6, verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Because of our union to Christ, we now have his resurrection life. We are risen with Christ. We are alive. Let's understand that. We still have, as Christians, our sinful flesh. But the resurrection life of Jesus Christ has changed our spiritual center. Eternal life now is within us. And therefore, that life of Christ becomes the center of our life, and that's seen especially in repentance. The life of Jesus Christ, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, right now is seen in repentance, that you see your sins, that you weep over those sins, that you cry out to God to be delivered from the power of those sins, and you desire by the grace of God to live a new and holy life. Is that true of you? Is that true of you personally? That's the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Apart from that life of Christ in you, you would never know that. You would never say that. But because He is risen and His life implanted into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, now also the child of God is alive unto God, expressed in repentance and a yearning to be pleasing to God. Is that true of you? Then you are risen with Christ. Christ, the resurrected Christ, His life is within you, and therefore you shall never die. You have passed from the realm of spiritual death into spiritual life. But there's something more yet. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is also a pledge. It's a pledge of our physical, bodily resurrection as the people of God. When God raised Jesus on the third day, God declared something. And God declared that he was going to raise also the body of his servants. Today, we are in the body of this present death, and with these eyes and ears, we cannot see and we cannot hear where Jesus has gone up into the heavens. In the body that we have now, we suffer the effects of sin and death. We have his life, his spiritual life, within us, but yet we are in the body of this present death. And we go through many trials and through death itself. And according to the will of God, many burdens are placed upon us, and we struggle against our sins, and we yearn for that day when we shall be delivered, and we shall be with him. But now in the resurrection of Christ, God also gives us this pledge, I will raise up your body to make that body like unto Christ's body. The resurrection of Christ is first of all then a pledge of God saying, I will come again and I will take you to be where I am, into my Father's house of many mansions. When Christ arose, he said to us, I haven't forgotten you. When all is done and you are prepared for your place in glory, I, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, will come for you upon a deathbed. Christ says to us, the risen Christ, he says to us today as his children, you are going to die unless the world ends first in the return of Jesus Christ. But when you die, you will not die alone. Jesus died alone, but we shall not die alone. He will be there, and by the power of his resurrection, he will receive us into the presence of God. Our sin will be no more. We shall be brought into the presence of the eternal God. It will be glorious. But more, by his resurrection, he also pledges that in the great day, the last day, the day of his return to this earth, he will raise our bodies from the dead. And he will make those bodies like unto his glorious body. We shall have immortality in the body. This present body, which is turning to dust and which is dying. Death comes to this present body and severs all earthly ties and removes us from our place on the earth, and it is gone. Those bodies laid in the grave or destroyed by fire, nevertheless, they shall be raised. They shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Christ will raise our bodies. All of this rests upon the fact of his resurrection. All of this, that is, the proof that our sins are paid, the power of a new and holy life within us, and the pledge of the resurrection of our bodies. All of these things rest upon the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. If Christ is not risen from the dead today, you have no hope. You would be yet in your sins. You would be a slave of evil. And you would perish, body and soul, in the flames of hell. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. That's the gospel. Christ is the pledge that all his own shall be raised up, even as he was, to incorruption and honor, glory, immortality, and victory. And therefore, in the resurrection of Christ, we challenge the grave. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ has been there, but he's not there anymore. He's risen, and grave and death, sin and hell, sin's dominion are broken from the child of God. The bars are torn away, and our souls arise in liberty. Do you believe these things? Do you know these things by faith? Have you found them in the Holy Scriptures? Is this your faith? That's always the question that is left when the gospel of the risen Lord is preached. Believest thou this? If you don't, if you are so proud as to reject it and so conceited as to ignore it, and if you say simply, well, I listened to the program, we heard some perhaps new things, interesting, that old Christian stuff. If that's your response, then the only thing that is in your life is fear. A fearful reckoning when the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, whose eyes are as flames of fire and his feet as shining brass, will stand before you in death, and you will be naked. But all who by the grace of God place their trust in the risen Savior today, who by his grace believe this gospel, the word to you from the risen Lord is, fear not ye, for ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. We believe that by grace, and believing have eternal life in his name. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, we ask thee to bind to our hearts this glorious truth through Jesus Christ. Amen.